Well, here we are, 6 weeks now into lockdown, and for many of us, our experience of work has been turned upside down. For some of us, it's busier than ever. My sister's got 3 kids under 10 whom she's homeschooling and juggling a job as well. For others, it's the opposite. Perhaps we're on furlough, or one of the 1.5 million people who've had to apply for universal credit. My twin brother has been working for 15, 16 years in a supermarket, stacking shelves. Fruit and veg is his big thing. And often he tells me it's dull, he can lack motivation, and every day there are rude customers to deal with. But since the coronavirus, all that has changed. The government now classes him as a key worker, fighting on the front line. He now gets clapped every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Customers, they're not grumpy now, they're grateful. And he said to me the other day, "You know, Ed, for the first time, I feel that my work is worthwhile." But I wonder about you and me, the work that we do day by day. How's this virus affected our attitude? And by work, I mean not just the paid employment that we might do, but the daily tasks that God has assigned to us, the nappy changing, the dinner cooking. For some of us, we might be twiddling our thumbs, getting bored, but probably for most of us, well, we're tearing out our hair, feeling pushed on every front. Well, tucked away here in this little New Testament letter to the Colossians in Turkey are some gems, some verses which have the potential to transform our experience of work. Just look back at chapter 1, verse 2 to see who the Apostle Paul is writing to. "To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." They're in Christ and in Colossae. See that right from the top, the double identity for the Christian. In Christ and in Colossae, or in London. So can I just say, if you're just looking into Christian things this evening, this is at the heart of the Christian faith. It's to be in Christ, to be attached, united, connected to him by faith, in a living, dependent relationship with the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. If that's newish to you, why not join us tomorrow night for Hope Explored? We'd love to have you along. But for these first century Colossians, what they needed to figure out, and what we need to do too, is what that calling to be in Christ looks like in Colossae or in London, at work and at home, and when those two are in the same place, in the ups and downs, in the lockdowns of life. And there's two things we see here. The call to work with our whole hearts and the call to work for Jesus himself. So look with me, firstly then, at our key verse 3, verse 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." What Christ calls his people to do, in a word, is wholeheartedness. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul is addressing first century domestic slaves here. And slavery of any sort should make us shudder. The idea that one person can be the possession, the chattel of somebody else to be bought and discarded at a whim can't be right. We're all made equal in God's image, precious to him. Surely God can't approve of slavery then or today. And so we should be appalled at the stats that today still 40 million people are the victims of human trafficking across the world. Please do pray for the work of Tamar, which is a ministry here at All Souls supporting the victims of sex trafficking in central London. But at the time of this letter, a third of the Roman Empire was in slavery. And the Apostle Paul didn't have overturning that as an institution as his priority. No, Paul's concern for these Christian slaves is not how to escape from work, but how to honour Christ in their work. The mopping of the floor, the admin at the Senate, the tutoring of the kids, all that and more was to be done now, not begrudgingly, but heartily. And no doubt that challenge filters down to us today, in whatever work we've been called to do. It's to be done with our whole hearts. That will mean all sorts of things. It will mean integrity. Look how realistic Paul is in verse 22. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters, not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." Timely words for us, aren't they? So many of us now are working from home. The boss hasn't got a clue what we might be up to. I remember years ago an email coming round from the HR department at the law firm that I worked at. Don't you dread those HR emails? Well, anyway, it said, look, from now on, we're going to start monitoring your emails. And I tell you, my heart sank. I thought to myself, gosh, all those emails I've been sending that haven't got to do with courts and clients and barristers, but everything to do, in my case, with churchy things, with the youth group rota or some mission ideas I had up my sleeve. All sorts of great things, but nothing to do with the work that I was being paid to do 9 to 5. And I realised that when my boss saw those emails, well, he wouldn't be that impressed at all. And actually, more to the point, nor would Jesus be. Wholeheartedness. Christ, he doesn't just look at the outside at our work productivity. He looks on the inside. And he's after consistency and depth of character from us. You know, like a Brighton rock, those long candy sticks that wherever you cut it, it says Brighton. Well, so too with our work lives. Whether it's that report to write, those relatives to care for, that exhausting Zoom meeting to tune in on. Well, all that is to be done with heartiness. But can I say, look, there'll be some of us who hear this and we're feeling shattered and our hearts are weary. Well, perhaps for you, the word here is sincerity of heart. See, God doesn't ask us to be superhuman, but to be real, to be sincere with him about that weariness. So let's be honest with him about how we feel about our work. Wholeheartedness. It will mean working with sincerity, working with integrity, but also working as well as we can. Not the best in the office, but to the best of my ability, with creativity, with cheerfulness, with care for others. Last week, I was cutting the lawn just out here at college. We've got acres and acres of grass, and there's a very cool sit-on lawnmower, which is a lot of fun to ride. But I was doing one particular bit of the lawn, and the caretaker, Carl, came over to me and he thanked me. But then Ed, he said, just to point out, there's a few jaggedy bits, tufts of grass that I'd missed. And he said, there's the lines, they're not very straight. And if I'm honest, I found myself inside sort of shrugging, thinking, whatever, that will do. This isn't Wimbledon. But then immediately this verse sprang to mind, verse 23, which has a very different sort of whatever. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So I got back onto the lawnmower and tried to smarten up those lines. So we'll be the kind of people then whom other people want on the team. So often, in fact, work dynamics are more transactional than relational, aren't they? I guess some of our colleagues will be feeling more lonely than we realise in lockdown. I wonder, could we be the team member who looks out for others, who makes the first move? I wonder, who could you have a Zoom coffee break with this week? So then, wholeheartedness is what we're called to. I wonder what our week just gone has looked like. For many of us, we can say in all the busyness, we've worked well in his strength. And in that, I think it's right that, like the Olympic runner Eric Liddell said, we feel the Lord's good pleasure. Although on that, for some of us, we might need to watch out for overworking. You know, the homework boundaries all but disappeared. And the danger is that we never switch off from work. It may be we need to figure out healthy rhythms and balances to juggle the different responsibilities that God's given us. Family, friends, work, rest and play. For others of us, well, if we're honest, it's not so much switching off that's the problem. It's switching on. Maybe it's been half-heartedness rather than wholeheartedness that's marked us out the last week. Well, whoever we are this evening, let's just take a moment now and we'll look back with thankfulness and repentance, but also perhaps to look ahead to the upcoming week. Perhaps let's resolve in the power of his Spirit to work with our whole hearts to the glory of God. So we've seen, firstly then, the call to wholeheartedness. But secondly, let's look at the reason given, the motive for that. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. All our work is to be done for Jesus Christ himself. So that university essay to write, that fruit and veg to stack, that meeting to chair, well, behind those tasks and behind those bosses stands somebody else, Jesus himself. We can do those things. We are to do those things, saying, Lord Jesus, this is for you. It's an incredible perspective to have on our daily work. I think of my granny, who used to work for many years in Malawi in southern Africa. She was the principal housekeeper, not in a school or a hotel, but for a politician. In fact, she was housekeeper to the president of the Republic of Malawi himself. So as she was sorting out dinner menus and shopping in the market, well, she did so remembering the one for whom she was doing it. She counted it a privilege that each day she could serve His Excellency, the President himself. Well, for the Christian, we have a far greater privilege. In our daily tasks, we get the honour of serving the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know, that gives a whole new dignity to our work as Christians. Some of that work, which we might have thought is boring and dull, as sort of a dull, bland metal, well, now it has the potential to glisten like gold because of the one for whom we're doing it. Now, of course, in God's creation design, all work has a dignity in and of itself, whoever it's done by. God himself is a creative worker. We see that back in Genesis 1 and 2. And even manual labour wasn't beneath him. The Son of God worked as a carpenter. And you and I are made in God's image. And so surely part of what it means to be human is that with creativity and responsibility and service, we can act as stewards looking after his world. In fact, it was Martin Luther who said that our daily jobs and vocations were like the masks of God. It's as if through our labours, God himself is seeking the flourishing of his world, even amidst its sin and brokenness. So we might not make it on the government's list of key workers, but in God's economy, we can all be key workers. For the Christian, there's a whole new level of dignity to our work. We get to serve the Lord himself. So why not every day this week, when you're turning up on the laptop each morning, or when you're pausing at lunchtime, why not just take a moment to say in a prayer, Lord Jesus, this is for you. So there's a new dignity to our work, but there's also here, well, a whole new driver for our work. See, all sorts of things drive us in our work, don't they? For these first century slaves, I guess it might have been the fear of a beating or the hope of freedom. But you and I, we've got our hopes and fears, our drivers too. I don't know about you, but the new pace of lockdown has been quite exposing as to what drives me. In fact, in the Times a couple of days ago, one psychotherapist wrote this. She said, the weekly treadmill of busyness is an anesthetic. It stops you feeling. Well, for now, that busyness has changed, or the context has changed, and the anesthetic is wearing off, and it gives us a chance to reflect on what does drive us. It could be all sorts of things. It could be status and the approval of others. I think of a law friend of mine who, after years of striving for partner, finally got the call from the senior partner saying, he's got it, partner. And I asked him how he felt. He said, I was on cloud nine for half an hour. And then he realized, what now? Status, it can be so intoxicating. But now this virus, well, it's a great leveler for us all. Or maybe it's salary. I remember when I was a trainee solicitor, the HR lady came round handing out pay slips one month. And my boss, who sat opposite me, he held it in his hand in front of him like this. And he had a big Cheshire Cat grin on his face. And he said, this is what it's all about. Salary, bonus, pensions, well, suddenly this virus is shaking all of that. Or satisfaction, that can be another driver can't it? Especially for those of us who are millennials, we can so easily try to get our whole sense of self and identity from having a job that will change the world. But suddenly in the lockdown, the horizons of that world have shrunk down to the walls of our flat. Or maybe it's just stability and safety. We work simply to put bread on the table and we get on with it. But even that's at risk. Food banks up and down the land have never been busier. Lots of things, aren't there, that can drive us in our work. I wonder, if we're being honest with ourselves, what are the things that drive us? But see here a hint in Colossians as to how Jesus speaks into all of that. Verse 23, work for the Lord. Verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Four times in our passage, we're told it's the Lord whom we're called to serve, not status or security. In fact, this Lord offers us security like no one else. Verse 24, you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That would have meant the world to a first century slave with no financial hopes to look forward to. Jesus, he's not the sort of boss who might lay us off or backtrack on a bonus. No, in his death and resurrection, he's guaranteed for his people eternal riches beyond our imagination. This is a boss from whom we need not hide our mistakes or fear he's going to be unfair. No, he's the one who in his loving grace forgives and welcomes us again and again. And in fact, if we've got juniors under us, well, 4 verse 1, we've got to make sure that we're being fair because Jesus is the senior above us. Yet this is the sort of senior we serve. He doesn't cling to status like a partner in a leather chair. No, he's a Lord who came to serve in humility to hang on a wooden cross. Jesus himself knows what it is to grow tired and weary. He's not a boss who stands aloof from our weakness, but he's the risen one who stands alongside us by his Spirit, day by day, task by task. What a Lord we get to serve. A Lord who in love has given everything for us. A Lord who in love calls us to offer our all to him, even at work. So as we close, many of us might remember back in January at our annual church partnership Sunday, hundreds of us signed this big yellow board, All for Jesus, with a biro. Well, you know, that's not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Each day, every Monday morning at work, at the desk, we're called to sign up to that afresh. Not with a pen on a board, but with our lives, with our whole hearts. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, as for the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, you have come to serve us in more ways than we can imagine. We pray that we would be those who in love want to serve him in the daily work you give us to do. And so, Father, we pray that you would be our vision, O Lord of our heart. Naught be all else to us save that thou art. Thou our best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence our light. Amen.